Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 275, part 2, the conclusion to Mount 4. Today is Sunday, January 13th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
I'll put that away. Or maybe your life is something else. Will you give your life for a friend? Maybe your life is having a good time all the time. Maybe there's someone that never has a good time any of the time. Will you give your good time all the time for somebody that never has fun any of the time? That's your life, having fun. Huh? Will you give part of that, a part of it? Start out with just a part. Be a little meek. Give part of it. Will you donate 1 hour a week towards a mission of your choosing? I mean, it's hard for Christians to give up 5 minutes to God just to pray about something. Well, I'm just so busy. I'll pray in the car. Somebody beeps at them. Shut up! And they forget all about praying. The day is... They go on through the day. Horns popped out and the whole works. Don't blame it on demons. So many times people are casting out demons, they're only trying to cast out themselves. No, I think this gentle person is a man that doesn't brag, doesn't get into boasting over his possessions or his achievements. Never brags how good he is. Jesus said, there's no man good. None but the... Don't call me good. There's no one good but the Father. I think he's the person that has a child's heart. My dad was a meek person. Do you remember, Grandpa? He was a meek person. But I think also this gentleman I'm talking about here, this gentle, meek person, this courageous, he has what we call high courage. His courage doesn't come from the bottle. I remember when I was in the world, the more I drank, the more courageous I was, and I'd sit and I'd solve problems. Every problem in the world I could solve it after so many martinis, you know? Huh? Now I know it's martinis, I just say that. Martinis. I could solve them all. I had courage of a lion. And he'd fall off the stool and he'd have to drag me out of the bar. I think the worst fear that the average man has is that the people will think he is a coward. Someone confronts him. I'm going to knock your face in. And so he backs off. And he goes home. He doesn't sleep all night. Gee, they think I'm a coward. Some people even kill so they can prove they're not a coward. So he doesn't sleep all night. And he goes in the bedroom, goes in the closet, reaches in the holster, pulls out the gun, walks over to the guy. He's already forgotten about the whole thing. You know, he's probably knocked four or five other people out that night. Kicks open the door, kicks open the bedroom door, walks in and shoots the guy just to prove that he isn't a coward. You don't think that happens? See, but here's the gist of it. The meek man is so courageous that he dares to look that terrible enemy in the face with quiet eyes. And say, I don't want to fight. I don't need to fight, and I don't have to fight. You know what? That makes the devil nervous. The meekness just sits there and looks. No. Christian, you say, well, now, look, this was part of my past life. I don't do those things anymore. See, fear cannot live where love reigns. Fear cannot live where love reigns. If you truly love what you're doing in the area that you're in, and you love that, fear can never take over. Did you know that? That's the truth. Meekness says, yell all you want, rant, rave, scream, let your veins pop out. But you need me to be meek right now. By God's grace, I will be. I will not, by God's grace, be moved to hit you. You're saying that to yourself, of course. Because Christ, gentlemen, is strong. I think the gentle things are always the strong things. Quiet power. Well, gravity isn't loud, is it? But it's sure strong, isn't it? Go jump off the top of this three-story building and yell Geronimo all you want to. It's going to pull you down. I am reminded of Elijah when he stood in the mouth of the cave and the earthquake shook, it says, the mountain. And it says he was hiding in fear from Jezebel. Is that you, God? But no, it wasn't God. Then there was that roaring tempest. Is that you, God? No, it wasn't God. There was a raging fire, but no, that wasn't God. But what was God was when he shut up and just sat there in meekness. And that small, still voice came to him. I think sometimes people think the power is in the thunder and not in the lightning. Now I want to tell you something that I know as a fact. Noise is not always strong. Sometimes people put on a big front and make a lot of noise to cover up their fear. Today I was up at the gas station and there was three young guys who were getting ready to go out, do some swimming or something. They had their trunks on and that. One young guy was out there and he was trying to get the thing to go into the gas tank, the nozzle. And he started swearing and cussing and looking around to see who was watching him, see? Yelling and screaming and shouting. Well, was it my duty to walk over there and say, "That is not Christ-like! Stop that! You filthy, perverted young man! I am a minister of the gospel, and I won't stand for it!" But I was just there, and it didn't affect me, and I had that spirit of meekness about me. Now, you work down here in the mission, you see rantings and ravings from people, right? And they get excited, and they rant, and they rave, and... Well, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Here, hand me that dish over there. I had one guy one day, he was ranting. I says, "Hand me them dishes over there, will you?" He put down his... Oh, okay. Love overlooks all things, bears all things, endures all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered. Even if he bangs you in the head with that tray, you'll still, on the floor, you say, "Hand me the trays." Love overcomes fear. Now, I want to tell you something. Being in a ministry like this down here, there's a lot of things that could make you fearful. One thing is the gas bill. $2,500 for the gas bill. That'd make a lot of people fearful. About $1,000 for the electricity, and there's no money down here. Is there? A little bit of money from our radio audience. Huh? And that could make you very, very fearful. But love overcomes all that. Say, "Jesus, keep me going down here. I love what I'm doing down here." And God loves to have you love what He's got you in. When it'll all turn out. Meekness. Meekness. Meekness so that you can listen to slander and rebuke and have someone slap you up alongside of the head and kick you in the butt and everything else, fella, and you just get that spirit of meekness and you stay right there and say, "I am here by the love of God and I'm just going to go on with this thing," and you're saying that to yourself and God gives you that spirit of meekness. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Oh, how the Christian church needs to come into that. Into the love and the mercy and the forgiveness and the covering of sins of one another. Forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. What else is there? When you take on that spirit, it's so much fun serving God. Are you hearing this? Many times I say, "These people are cowards. They're yelling and screaming. They're fearful." I don't care how big they are. They're trying to prove something. They're trying to shout out fear. They're trying to get rid of it. They ever seen these boxers? And, you know, they'll be ranting and raving. "I'm going to knock his head off. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." Outside, a lot of it's phony, of course. When there's millions of dollars involved, hey. Some of it isn't. Sometimes the people are fearful. I know I'd be fearful if I had to get in a ring with one of those guys. I'd get meek in a hurry. Are you hearing this? You ever seen that spirit of meekness where someone just comes in, doesn't say anything, and they do the thing? Quiet power. I was thinking on the way here, what made the money changers in the temple run when meek Jesus approached them? Why didn't they defy the Lord Jesus that taught these things? Why didn't they hold their ground? Why didn't they challenge His authority? Now, of course, they weren't all cowards. Besides, I thought this was bad for business. Besides that, it was embarrassing, and yet they all ran. Why? It never would have happened if His anger would have been natural. But see, His anger wasn't natural. His anger was supernatural. He had that terrible anger of the meek. Someone fearful over what they've done. They're doing it for someone else, and they made them fearful. I'll tell you what. When that person becomes angry, and they have that spirit of anger, I don't care what kind of demon it is, it's going to run out the door. I'm talking about the spirit of anger in the meek person. That's the kind of meekness I'm talking about tonight. That's why they all ran. That's why they didn't challenge His authority. I mean, when meekness has become angry, way down deep in the spirit, in the bowels of the spirit, Satan takes off, friend. Meekness makes demons shake. Why? It's Christ-like. It's the wrath of the Lamb. Can you imagine in the end? Of course, we have all passed by the wrath of God. Being born again, we will never see the wrath of God. But can you imagine what the wrath of God is going to be like? But blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. Jesus read this in the Psalms, memorized it, believed it with all his heart. From Psalm, I think, 37, it mentions it, in Psalm 25. Do you believe the Bible? Read the Beatitudes. Read the Beatitudes. We're going through them. I'll have another one tomorrow. Do you believe this, that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth? Well, good then. It's yours now and forever. Oh, the world doesn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jim is meek. Marty is meek. Aren't you glad they're meek? I'm becoming that way more and more. But I know what Jesus talks about, and it has nothing to do with your flesh. All of a sudden, when someone is confronted, or when a brother is offended, even when I see it on TV, there's something that rises up within me. It is a spirit of meekness, but it's got a quiet strength, but it has a strength that when it's called upon, worry not what you're to say. I'll give you what to say in that hour, Jesus says. Be meek. I'll give you what to say in that hour. See, we own it all anyway. Is there something you want to possess out there? No, let somebody else take care of it and pay all those bills. You own it all anyway. You can afford to be meek. Look at Hitler. Did he inherit the earth? Look at ancient Rome and Greece. Look at all the warmongers of all the ages. The only earth that they ever inherited was 2x8x6. Their grave. No, the Bible says the meek inherit the earth. And I think that is in the very truest sense, here and now. Sit back and watch the glory of the Lord. Watch God go to work in these end times. You don't have to get real vocal and let's let other people get all mad and mean and excited and wear themselves out. Now, if you preachers know what I'm talking about, a lot of times folks will wear themselves out trying to get you to go down and get you to go under. And they just wear themselves out because you have to learn how to take on that spirit of meekness. Oh, it's not a melancholy thing. It's great. You know what else it gives you? When you listen to what Jesus says in the Beatitudes, it gives you the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of joy. It says in the original Greek that the laughter of the Lord is your strength. I was sitting up here in a sanctuary the other night with these people, and they said, you know, now after all of this and all these, 9 years, why is it that you're always laughing? Oh, you listen on the radio and they say, you always have something to laugh about. Well, I said, now if you bring it up, I suppose I could find something I could cry about. And I says, I suppose there's more reasons for me staying in what I'm doing than excuses for leaving. The reasons for doing what I'm doing far outweigh my fleshy excuses. The flesh will always try to find a way out, an excuse, if you will, to get out of doing something. But the Spirit is willing, and I find more reason in the Spirit now than I do excuses in the flesh. That's where the power is, in the Spirit. And so, because to inherit the earth, you don't have to possess it. To possess it is to have it possess you. Having nothing, it says, yet owning all things. We own it all anyway. And so why not let others help us take care of it? I think the proud man can bring no man to Christ. But the meek are the restorers, people who are, it says, restore people who are erring in the spirit of meekness. Spirit of meekness. Are we doing that? And I think we need to start to do that. I think we need to show the world that we have got that spirit of meekness and gentleness and all of these fruit of the Spirit. And just cover brothers and sisters and go on with what God has shown us to do. Stop arguing and debating on who is the greatest. Unless it says you come as a little child, you will no ways make it to the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? That means that be careful when you think you know something. Know nothing at all. See, if you know everything and you've been to 14 zillion Bible studies and you've been flying here and there and all over and you've been to every seminar, you are seminared out. What good is all that learning? You'll never come to know Jesus Christ lest you know Him in the suffering. You know what suffering is? It's getting involved. Whenever you get yourself involved, you're going to suffer. You know how you're really on track? When you're suffering.
Oh, golly, I don't want to suffer and stuff.
I'm not talking about, hey, suffering isn't all bad. You suffer getting ready for a basketball tournament or boxing or karate, or you have to suffer, you have to train. Suffer for the joy that is before you. See, you're just passing through here. This is a pilgrimage. You're just passing through. Oh, yes, I know, but it's easy for you to say, old tiger. I'm only 21 years old. I got more time. Yeah, well, you could drop dead tomorrow, fella. You're passing through. You could pass out and plop dead right there. An old tiger could go on for several more years yet. And on the other hand, it could happen to me. I don't know, but I'm just passing through. We're all just passing through, like ships that pass in the night. We're just passing through. Honk, boop, passing by. Why make a big noise? Why not have meekness of spirit? Loving one another, helping one another, staying where God has put you and doing the job. Isn't that what, don't you have peace in your heart when you know you're doing what God wants you to do and you do it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul? Isn't there a peace in that? There is to me. Well, Pastor, do you ever wish that you were away on a faraway island someplace where nobody could bother you and you could just sit out there under the coconut trees? Not really, because God would cause one of them coconuts to drop on my bald head, and that might be the end of me. No, I know where I belong. I'm fully persuaded that He's able to keep me under that hour. He'll keep. What God has started, He's going to stand over, and it's going to be performed by the power of the Holy Ghost. God is going to cause something to happen. Well, I'm glad I'm down here in this mission down here. Man, it is a challenge. I'm glad I'm not stuck out there. Not that there isn't ministry in suburbia, but I'm glad I'm not out there. It just is not my cut, okay? I mean, I'm not cut out for that. I'm not cut out there, cut out to have a suit and a tie on and, you know, I'll be taken off of a silk pillow every Sunday. Okay, careful now. The old jet is getting kind of brittle. Bring him down here. And stand him up there, okay, straighten your tie up and then slick your hair back and then, you know, you spray it, somebody bumped into you, they crack your hair. Get it all back like that and the band plays and you stand up there, you know, and now, Pastor Paul! That's not my bag. I'm just weird, I guess. I mean, I get a kick out of unloading trucks of potatoes and going over there tomorrow to that run over there. Tomorrow we probably have 150 to 200 cases of cantaloupes, for starters. I don't know exactly what we'll have, but I did call over there, so tomorrow morning I'll see you guys over there, and we'll pick up them cantaloupes. I think probably tonight might be good, or should you want to load them up in the morning? That little bit we got in that cooler, we should take that out of there. And we got so much bread, rolls, and cookies, that whole bus. I mean, hey, God has blessed, and just think all the people that are going to be out there. Isn't that going to be fun? Aren't you glad that you're out there and you're doing those kind of things versus sitting in the seminar? Point one! And someone pointing with a stick and a flannel board Jesus, where they put Jesus on a flannel board. And here comes Jesus down into the garden. Whoops, he fell. Whoops, then put him back up, smooth him out. No, hey, Jesus is living in my heart. He's not a flannel board Jesus. He's not little cardboard things that got the little, like these dolls. Remember them paper dolls and you'd put the backs like you girls used to have? The backs there, these little dolls, you put them up there, huh? No, not talking about that kind of thing. Talking about a real live Jesus. See? And you know what? Jesus didn't sit in all them seminars. Aren't they boring? I don't know how people can go to all them things. I don't know how they can run over to Israel and go over there, you know, 14 times. How can they go over there? And they're so stupid. They go over there, yep, the tomb is still empty. Go back out of there and get on the bus. No, that's not my... I hate traveling like that. Don't you? You might get hijacked. Hey, listen, you might get hijacked over there, machine gunned. Maybe the stone, because of the vibrations, will roll in front of the tomb there. Hey, get out of there. Jesus isn't in there. Now they don't even know if that's the right tomb. They think, oh no, it's about 50 feet that way. Probably moved it because the bus had to go by there. See? That's true. There's a lot of suckers that go over there and spend their money. And the angel said, hey, why do you come back here looking? He is risen. 2,000 years ago, he's gone. He's not here. What are you even looking around for? Hey, some kind of creeps or something? Get going. Get to work. And they're still running back here. Oh, hurry up. Let's get to the tomb. Oh, yeah. Same tomb, same empty tomb, same people there selling hot dogs and what other kind of food they got over there. Same people wailing over there at the wall. Same thing going on. Same thing. But what are they doing with Jesus? Meekness. Did you learn anything about meekness? Well, I think for the most part, anybody that's involved with this mission has to take on some of those spirits, a spirit of meekness. The world can't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? You two young men, do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Oh, okay. Lord, I want to thank you for these people that are here tonight. Thank you for the radio audience. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to help us in this time of need down here in the feeding of the poor. God bless each one out there in the radio land. Bless them here tonight. Cause them to prosper, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's going to sing tonight? Paul? Maybe one of you guys want to sing, huh? Can you sing? You want to sing, Deb? Okay, here we come. Okay.
Shall we sing Soon and Very Soon? Okay, ready? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
No more crying.
No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
No more dying.
No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
One more time.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Give each other a good hug. God bless you.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 275. That was part 2 to Mount 4. Be sure to join us every Friday for part 1, every Sunday for part 2. If you missed part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find the show notes, scripture links, and you can subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Next Friday's message is Mount 5. Have a great week and God bless you.
ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.